Hey, you guys, this is Vanessa Morgan right here on Vamo Radio. You guys, I'm here today interviewing the amazing Wynn Charles. Hi, Wynn, how are you?
Hi, thank you for having me on. And you don't have to call me the amazing Wynn Charles, although people do call me the fabulous Wynn Charles. And yes, Wynn is my legal name. Let's just get that right out the door. Wynn is actually my legal name, W-I-N. So don't be mistaken that Wynn is not my legal name.
Of course. Well, I like the fabulous better, so let's go with fabulous. The fabulous Wynn Charles.
Yep. We'll go with fabulous.
Awesome. So, Wynn, can you please explain to the audience more about what you do?
Sure. I am a journalist that teaches on the side, and I have been, this will be my 12th and final year in the education field. I am stepping away from the education field to become a full-time author and journalist.
Wow. Awesome. Man, sounds like you do a lot of work. Why are you stepping away?
Because one very simple reason, not because of people in the education field. The people in the education field have been lovely. But as you guys know, those of you who are listening to Venmo Radio who are in the teaching field, you guys know that teachers don't get paid high enough. Mm-hmm. So yes, I can get paid higher off my books than I can teaching any day of the week.
Wow. That's really true, actually. So when, with that being said, what do you feel has been your biggest life lesson so far?
My biggest life lesson is losing my mom and getting kicked in the ass that I really needed to go back to journalism school.
Wow. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Hey, so how long have you been in journalism school?
I started this process in 2017, all obtained my associate's degree and then eventually ending up with my master's in creative writing. I will obtain my journalism degree, my associate's part of it, in 2020.
Great. That is awesome. Man, you're doing a lot of work, and, you know, you're already having the master's and still going back to school. It's very inspiring. You know, you do a lot, and I know.
I will end up with my master's, but this is my second degree, as I said. All this is my second degree. My first degree is in education.
Wow. That is awesome. And when I know that you've done so much over your lifetime, what do you feel has been your biggest achievement so far?
I feel like being self-taught has been my biggest achievement. I became self-taught without a degree. I started the podcast right after I wrote the book, I Come a Wynn, which was my original biography. And as of today, I'm starting a book tour, you guys, to promote my second novel series. And my second novel series is all going to be about the power of fashion journalism and having a disability, and it's going to be a novel series.
Wow. Oh, wow, that's amazing. So you're writing now. You're still writing.
Yeah, I am still writing, and I have a dictation book in the works. I have the Power of Fashion Week in the works. I just submitted that to a publisher, and so a small press publisher, because I come from the field of Amazon, self-publishing, independent publishing, and Amazon has gotten so wonky that I can't do it anymore.
Wow. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Well, when, tell me, what has been currently the most challenging part of running your business? What do you feel is the most challenging part of it?
Currently, the most challenging part of running my business is just keeping the podcast going. Keeping the podcast going. And even though I love it, I'm not doing it for my own sake anymore, you guys. You guys, I'm starting to do the value for value model because people have got to support the podcast, which they have in the past, but now I'm announcing that to the world. Without the value for value model, you won't be hearing Ask When will go up the airwaves because I can't do it anymore. I don't have the mental bandwidth, the physical capacity to do what I'm doing if I don't get financially supported.
Mm-hmm. Right. Wow. Yeah, I understand. I know that you love doing it, though. It's the same way, even though that financially sometimes it gets hard, the struggles that you face, especially with you doing a podcast as well as writing your book. And, you know, financial struggle does become a pretty big hurdle at the time. But I'm glad that you actually did the podcast as I listened to it, and it was really nice. I really like the work that you've done.
Well, I would like to get more of the backing towards financially, but I will get there hopefully during this season. Someone will just hand me $1,000 and say, here's for your work.
Right.
Because I don't want to get political, but we have a certain person, and it's not me, calling every news media under the sun, including independent journalists like myself and yourself, fake news. So that makes it hard. That just makes it 10 times more difficult on me and all the other journalists before me and all the other journalists coming up after me because they don't know what's going on.
Right. That's so true. And when I know also with that being said, as your podcast, you know, you need financial backing for that as well. Although you're still going to journalism school, you know, you've got your master's degree underway and you're already working on your associates with journalism as well. So what has been the biggest hurdle that you've had to overcome to get where you are right now?
Well, did I mention that on top of this, I'm a full-time patient of cerebral palsy.
Really? No, you did not.
Did I mention, on top of this, I have a physical disability?
Wow. I didn't know that. That's
yep. Yep. That's public. That's truly, that's been public since 2010.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
I am one of 1,000 babies born with spastic acetoid cerebral palsy.
Really? Oh my gosh.
So I'm a full-time patient of cerebral palsy.
Right. Oh my gosh. Well, and still you're dealing with everything else. You know, you're still pushing.
Yep.
As well as, you know, your podcast, your book, everything. You're still writing and publishing and still finding ways to do things out here. Other people aren't really, you know, trying as hard, and you're still working, and you still have other things to deal with as well.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I wouldn't see it any other way, but I am so sick of the self-publishing film that it's not even funny. So that's why I teamed up with a publisher. Now, of course, that small publisher is charging a small fee for me to publish my book, But at the same time, I just hand them the manuscript, hand them the synopsis, and he does all, well, we're going to do a 50-50 split on marketing because of his demands right now and because of most publishers' demand right now. When they get a new book, they can't do all the marketing for the authors.
Wow. That is interesting. I didn't know, like, there were actually fees and everything. I know that with Amazon, as you said, publishing on Amazon, it does become a fee for physical books. But there's also a fee to publish outside of that as well, independent publishing as well. And, you know, doing the work yourself sometimes doesn't really cut it out either.
There's no fee for Amazon publishing. Trust me, I have done that when I got so sick of publishing via Amazon that I finally teamed up with a publisher.
Wow. Also, when I know that you said you've gotten already your master's degree and you're now working on your associates and you'll be finishing in a couple years from now. So if you could have anyone educate you in the world, who would it be?
If I could have anyone educate me in the world. Now, Grant, these questions are coming off my podcast that I handed over to you because I never had the opportunity to have these questions asked of me.
Really?
I always ask of other people. And so my answer would be the educated Steve Jobs, because I think what he did for assistive technology and the and the education space and the technology space in general is wonderful. So if I could sit down with Steve Jobs, or even better, Tim Cook of Apple, that would be the cat meow as a journalist.
That is awesome. That's a really good choice, actually. I never thought about Steve Jobs. Wow, I wouldn't even think about him actually just sitting down and teaching me. That is so cool. So, what is your deepest regret?
My deepest regret is not starting journalism school sooner.
Okay.
Because even though I love my biological mom, she forced me to go into education, and unbeknownst to me, I was put in a very, 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 very bad situation. Mm-hmm. I got emotionally abused, which happens in the workplace all the time. I'm one of 1,000 emotional abuse survivors. Almost got physically abused, got away from that one, and my mom didn't see that situation coming, and my dad actually pulled me out of that job. Thank God for my dad, who I still live with to this day. Mm-hmm. He said, no, this is not flying. We need to either get you another job or pull you out of this job completely. Now, if I wasn't forced to go into education, I would be a journalist, and I would have my four-year degree plus my master's degree plus everything else.
Right. Wow. I'm so sorry that you had to go through something like that. You don't deserve that, you know.
No, but, it happens all the time in the workplace. It happens all the time in the workplace, and I was just one of the victims of it. And so if any victims are listening to this podcast, are listening to this radio show, and want to come out and tell this story, you guys are more than welcome to it, because emotional abuse in the workplace happens all the time.
Wow. Wow.
And I actually, after retiring from teaching preschool, I actually wrote a novel about it.
Really? Wow. Is it out now?
It's out now.
Wow. What's the name of it?
The View from My Fabulous Teaching Desk. And I, because I'm still in the education field, I had to be careful, tastefully sharing my story. And so that's why I left it as a novel. But I feel like these victims should come out of the Me Too movement and of the emotional abuse movement, because when I'm sitting in my house doing this interview, when the disabled don't get abused at home, they get abused out in public. And I was one of the victims of getting abused out in public. And I believe five other adults saw me getting abused, and they were getting abused, and they didn't do anything to help me.
Oh my, that's so heartless. I didn't believe that.
Wow. And my boss hated diversity.
Wow. Oh my God.
My boss now loves it, but but my boss at the time hated diversity.
Really? Oh my gosh. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that, Wynn. I appreciate that you actually told us about that. And it's true, you guys, if you're ever being abused emotionally, physically, any kind of way that you're being abused, you always need to speak out about it. If you need to come on this show and tell me, let me know. Also, Wynn, she's an amazing person as well. You can tell her, you can tell so many people. There's anyone you can go to, any family members, friends, anyone. Speak out about it. Don't have it bottled in, because it can hurt you. And Wynn, I have this next question for you. Now, I don't want you to mention Ask Wynn as your favorite podcast. But what's your favorite podcast?
I know. My all time, I have two. Dreams in Drive, hosted by the amazing Lane and Campbell. Dreams in Drive, and she brings people of color on to her podcast.
Okay.
And my second favorite podcast, which will shock you guys, is called Congressional Dish. And if you want a good political, what goes on inside the American Senate, if you want to go inside the American Senate, Congressional Dish by Jennifer Briney is one of the most phenomenal podcasts out there. Even though it is the value for value model, and it is listener supported. Dreams and Drives is not listener supported, so you guys may like that more than having begged for PBS dollars for several minutes. Jennifer Briney, even though she does an amazing job, and I've had her on my podcast, she actually begs you guys to support her podcast, and she gets responses, but at the same time, she drives you nuts about it. So that's where I learned about the value for value model. But I won't drive you nuts about it. I will do it once a month, and maybe people will listen to it, or maybe every other episode I will do it, but I won't be on you every single time, because those of us who do PBS pledge drives, that drives us nuts too.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. Thanks so much for sharing that, Wynn. So, Wynn, how can people get in contact with you? What's your best contact information that we can reach you?
People can get in contact with me via Twitter at Wynn, W-I-N, Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, Charles, C-H-A-R-L-E-S, and that's my full name, my last name is in there too. And of course, it's the at symbol and in front of that full name. And then people could also get in contact with me via AspenWynn@gmail.com. And I, if you don't mind me giving my phone number out, I really get stuck on my phone. So, and it's my phone. I'm the one who's checking on it. I'm the one who's paying for it. So it's my phone. So my phone number is 970-618-8840. If anyone, and I mean anyone who's been emotionally or physically abused in the workplace, wants to come out of the woodwork and talk to me about that, because I've been there, done that. It's not very fun. I mean, I remember saying to my boss, you're not welcome.
Of course. Thank you so much for that, Wynn. Really appreciate the actual reaching out to other people, our audience. Thank you so much for that. And Wynn, who inspires you on social media and why?
And I apologize for the coughing attack. Who inspires me on social media and why? Yeah. Well, I would say, and this is another podcast, the story behind actually inspires me on social media, and that is run by Emily Prokop. And Emily Prokop does a phenomenal job with the story behind. So that, and she throws out interesting tidbits on Twitter, and she herself was originally trained in journalism. So I like all my journalists that I follow.
Wow. Oh, you follow? You follow all of them?
I follow journalists if they allow me to.
Wow. I win. So what is your favorite tech tool that you use in your business?
My favorite tech tool that I use in my business, I would have to say my iPhone or my Mac. I also have a PC. I'm trying to get rid of that PC and go back to Mac land. So if anyone can help me out with that, that would be wonderful. Because as I said, when you asked me who I wanted to be educated by, when it comes to Mac and accessibility, they do a wonderful job. PCs, not so much. Not so much. And I've had experience with both, and I'm picky. And so I think that my Mac that I just got rid of was one of my favorite tech tools. And now my iPhone, because we're doing this podcast.
Sounds awesome, Wynn. So, when I know earlier you mentioned how you're having cerebral palsy and all the things that came along with it, of being abused as well, and, you know, actually reaching out, having a helping hand to other people, especially our audience, and letting people know that you're there for them, how would you help people with disabilities?
Please. I thought about this question. I asked this question of my own audience, too, and I thought about this question, and the bigger I get in the disabled advocacy space, the harder it is. But my big thing is making people aware of people with disabilities. I mean, I have friends on the autism spectrum. I have friends with learning disabilities at the yin yang. I have friends with cerebral palsy at the yin yang. And I have the hardest time getting in touch with, believe it or not, United Cerebral Palsy. They don't want to hear from me. They don't want to hear from a journalist with cerebral palsy, because they think research. I'm thinking that it should be a 50-50 split between research and awareness. They're thinking research, and there's only so much research you can do until you turn blue in the face. I'm sorry. But we're the ones that are living with cerebral palsy or autism or you name it, your disability, and we're getting older, not younger here. We may be born with cerebral palsy or autism or Tourette syndrome or Asperger's or Down syndrome, but adults are growing up in a time where I think there should be more research, more awareness than research, because it's getting tougher and tougher and tougher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I understand. And when, with everything that you've overcome, you're actually a really great inspiration. And everything that you've overcome and things that you still do today and things that you still deal with personally, even your abuse and disability, everything that you've done, what do you feel has been the hardest part of your job that you had to face every day?
The hardest part of my job is the politics in education. Okay. As we record this interview, it's August. It's August 4th. So all these teachers are going back into their classrooms. And what people fail to forget is budgets are tiny in classrooms, and 9 times out of 10, teachers have to buy their own paper and pencils for the kids, and then they sometimes get reimbursed, not all the time. So that means they're shelling out their hard-earned cash for these kids. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's fair.
Yeah.
As a teacher myself.
True. That isn't. I thought you would be at least given the materials that you need to teach them, but I mean, if you have to take it out of your own money, it's kind of crazy.
No. And I, no. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm slowly walking away. Uh-huh. But if I need to extend it another 8 years, I will. But I'm trying to walk away from the education field just because of the, not to say that I don't love the kids, but at the same time, I don't love the politics in education. I don't love that we're getting pittance of a paycheck. And I don't love that they're making teachers all across the country pay for their own supplies.
Right. Yeah. That is crazy. Wow. Well, thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for sharing that as well. Along other things that we have to do, now you have to, basically you're getting paid to pay for other things and out of your pocket, and that's still a lot to ask for, even though some people are like, oh, it's not much, it's still a lot to ask for, and I appreciate that you shared that with us as well. And Wynn, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on the show today and doing this interview. It was a lovely interview that we've had. We've had some great discussions about anything and everything. And I appreciate you laughing with me and letting me know everything that you've went through and things that you've done in your life. And I really appreciate you, Wynn. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. And you guys can find all my books on all major retailers, including Amazon, in all major ebook platforms. I know they're definitely on Kindle. I know they're definitely on Kindle, Nook, iBooks, you name it. And Kindle actually has an app for your iPhone, so, and iPad, and Mac. And I believe Nook does too. So if you guys want to go that route, search Icon Wynn, or ask, even better for the teacher and me, ask your local library to put Icon or Win in your local libraries. They know how to do it. They have a system that I actually use as a patron of the library called Overdrive, and that's how libraries rent ebooks, i.e. Stephen King's ebooks, i.e. Every ebook you read on your Kindle device from your local library is coming from OverDrive, and my books are in that system.
Wow. Oh, wow. You have so much going on, Wynn. That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that as well. You guys, you can find out so much about Wynn Charles, her podcast, books she's written, everything that is out right now. Just go to Google and just search it all up, you guys. Literally, you can just type in her name. It all just pops up. I did it before. Trust me. Also, you can email her. She's giving you her email, her phone number, her contact, her Twitter. Go anywhere and find out more about Wynn Charles. Thank you so much, Wynn, for being on the show. You guys, this has been Wynn Charles with an interview on Vaymo Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in, you guys. Bye.